Hello, everyone. This is Melinda Russell with the Women's Motorsports Network. And I have actually three guests tonight, which is unusual. And for some reason, I can't get their pretty faces up on the screen so that we can see all four of us. But I just want to welcome them to the show. I've got Mackenzie, Sarah, and Tasha. And Mackenzie and I met at kind of at lunch at PRI. You know, they have, if you can find a place to sit at lunchtime there, then you're, you know, more than lucky, I would say. And so Mackenzie and her husband and a couple other people and I were sitting at the table. And so we got to talking about where we lived and what we did. And so that's how we got introduced. And then we decided she suggested we have Sarah and Tasha on the podcast too, which I was thrilled that she did that. So we're going to start with you, Mackenzie. Why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself, your family, your pets, whatever. And then when she's done, Sarah, you go ahead. And then after Sarah, Tasha, you do the same thing. So Mackenzie, take it away.
Well, as she said, my name is Mackenzie. I'm in the motorsports. I do drifting. So I started going to our home track, which is at Brainerd International Raceway. Holy crap, I'm nervous. Sarah's wrapping up.
Oh no, don't be nervous. Just having a conversation.
So I'm from, my hometown is Brainerd International Raceway, where I would go to the races up there, and I got introduced the whole motorsports. I started with cars in high school when I thankfully was able to have like a shop class.
Okay.
So that's how I got my start in motorsports.
We'll come back to that in a minute. Are you married? Do you have any pets? And you live in Brainerd, Minnesota?
Nope, I'm in Fargo, North Dakota.
Fargo, North Dakota. Yeah. Okay. All right.
So I do have one kitty. He's not allowed in Dad's office, which is where I'm in right now. So he knows better to not come in here. So.
All right, and you're married because your husband was with you, or I assume that was your husband.
He pretty much will be my husband. Yes.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Not yet, but soon. So.
Correct. All
right. And Sarah, what about you? Tell us a little bit about yourself. Where you live. You know, your family, your pets, anything that you're willing to share.
Sure. My name is Sarah, like was said. I live in Fargo, North Dakota. I have two kitties, Muchacho and Reina. Reina has thumbs. It's so cool. But otherwise, I kind of just hang out. I own a business, and that's really all I do anymore.
Well, what kind of business do you own?
So it's kind of a mix of a lot of things. It started as photography. I do graphic design, logo design, and I'm just now getting into merchandise as well.
Okay. Very cool. And did you go to school for that?
I did not. Also
self-taught. Awesome. I'm pretty self-taught on most of the things that I do too. Tasha, how about you? Tell us about yourself.
So I live in Brainerd, Minnesota. I'm a massage therapist. I have two cats, Bubba and Bee. BIR is my home track, but I've kind of bounced all over Minnesota.
Okay, so you like the cold weather. I live in Michigan, so you kind of send that weather towards us when you're sick of it. Yeah, for sure. So, Mackenzie, why don't you start by telling us about how you met these girls, and I know it's about drifting. You know, drifting is becoming such a popular sport, and I'll just tell you a little story from something that just happened. So my local track is called the Kalamazoo Speedway, and on last Thursday they had media day, and so I went, and the guy that was running it is a friend of mine, and the guy that used to own the track and now runs the track as a friend of mine. So I decided I was going to go, and they told about the improvements at the track this year, which the man that owns it has done a lot of improvements. And then there was a lady there, and they have a drift series. Now I go to the racetrack a lot, but I had no idea that last year they had some drift races. And then this year they're going to have like 11 or 17 or some, it's a lot. And I was really tickled. So they gave, if you wanted to go for a ride in one of the cars, you could. And so I said, sure, I'm going to do that. And I got in the car and we went to the infield and we went around and then we're around this way. And my grandson texted me and said, Mama, I can't believe you rode in that car. But it was so fun. It was so fun. So Mackenzie, tell me about the group, how you got into drifting, you know, who introduced you to it. And then Sarah and Tasha will come your way with pretty much the same questions.
So I met Tasha first. I met her going to Brainerd International Raceway, where she had her own 350Z. I have my own 350Z. And, you know, being a girl in the same community was, we kind of like instantly clicked and became friends from there. And then I met Sarah at the ND track, where she does photography, like she mentioned, and which I dabble in a little bit myself. So we kind of clicked from there. Also, her boyfriend, Ethan, I love him. So like, hi, Ethan.
Oh, look out.
So I got into drifting because I had a friend who would bring me to Brainerd International Raceway. And I got a ride along from my friend Shane. I'm not going to even try to pronounce his last name, but he'll know who he is. Okay. And I got my first ride along with him. And from then on, I was hooked. So the next year after that, I flew down to Arizona and I bought my first car. And then I drove it home from Arizona to Minnesota. And it was just kind of history from there.
Wow, that was a long drive. My youngest two daughters live in Arizona, so I've been there a lot. I've driven there, and mostly I fly there. So,
yeah, I was just kind of living on hopes and prayers that the car would actually make it back.
Yeah, exactly, because that's not what you bought it for, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, though, all of a sudden, there I am. I don't know what this is doing. So, Sarah... Oh,
hi.
Look at that.
Now we can see each other.
Yay. Oh, so much better. So, Sarah, tell me, how did you, I know you met Mackenzie. Were you already drifting at the time or, you know, did that come later?
So I actually don't drift my car yet. I have this weirdly unattainable goal that I want to make a show-worthy car out of my car, and then I'll just destroy it later. I have a 370Z and I have a whole PowerPoint, okay, of everything that I want to do to it with like transitions, music, and clickable links. So I want to get through that first and then I'll drift it. But I met Mackenzie, kind of like Mackenzie said, at our local track. Her boyfriend and my boyfriend, they drive together a lot and they love each other. They're like... They're like best friends, almost.
I teased my husband. He had a very, very close friend. And I said, oh, it's a bromance. And so yep, that's what that is. They have a bromance. Yeah.
So I kind of got into drifting from my boyfriend back in 2018. I'm a little salty about this. Back in 2018, I said I wanted to start drifting. And so my boyfriend learned how to drift instead of me.
Well, I never heard this story.
So he bought how it happened is he traded an IS300 for a 350Z and used that as his first drift car, learned the thing, every inch, every part of the engine, everything. And then he just upgraded, a few years ago, upgraded to a Corvette. So it's kind of been since then, it was downhill for me and I learned how to not be so nervous. And I started taking photos at the track and now I'm just there all the time.
Yeah. I was going to say I see different personalities already and I've only talked to Kenzie for a short time and I just met you other two tonight, but you're the creative one, Sarah. you know, it's and that would be more, you know, like I do a lot of Canva or Canva and I do a lot of social media. I work for a company that I do their social media. So to say that I wouldn't ever drive, I would have had I been younger like you, but not with rods and screws in my back, or I just had a knee replacement about 6 weeks ago. So my days of driving are long past, but you're young. So here's a bit of advice. Don't wait till it's perfect to get started.
Yeah.
So it's, you know, your car is going to be beautiful no matter how or when you get on the track. But don't wait until something happens that you never get to do it.
Right.
So I'm going to encourage you, and you're going to be beholding to me now to let me know when you get out there on the track. Okay.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Because you're missing out on the fun from what I can tell.
Yeah.
You know, being the photographer is fabulous, but that's not where the fun is. So you got to get out there. So Tasha, tell us about yourself. How did you get started and all those important details so we know who Tasha is?
So it's kind of funny. My dad was in the mechanics my whole life. I kind of joke and say that he raised and bred Camaros because we had, I seriously can't even count how many 80s Camaros growing up. And my mama dated a guy shortly thereafter that was really into Formula Drift. So I got to watch that growing up quite a bit. Went to VIR. It was my home track, has always been my home track. I've pretty much lived there since I was a kid. But it really started being interested in drifting in about 2019. A guy that I had dated for almost a decade had started driving, and I helped him build his car from the bottom up. And once I got into his car and kind of did a couple laps, just to see, can I even do this? Like, am I even really going to be good at this? I fell in love with it. It was so much fun. And so then I got myself a 350Z and drove for the last 2 years pretty intensely. Got to drive a big event that's an invite only as a Lake Jam, which is huge. It was so much fun. And now I get to focus on a new project. I'm going to be building a Camaro, 80s Camaro, to eventually drift. It's a big feat. Not a lot of people are doing the 80s for a Fox body or the G body style vehicles, but you know, body chassis, which is really tough. But I think it's going to be really worth it to have something unique, something a little heavier than the Z chassis. I've always been really into the mechanical side of things, so it's going to be a fun new challenge. These are, they're almost made to just go out there and rip. It's so much fun.
Yeah, so, for sure. Yeah. So Kenzie, tell what did you say? You have an MX something. What kind of car do you drift in?
It's a 03 Nissan 350Z.
A 350Z. So it's a Nissan. And so that sounds like it must be the perfect car to start with or to drift with.
Pretty much.
Why is that true? And then if so, why? Why that car?
My why is because of Tokyo Drift. I can't, I kind of fell in love with Fast and Furious. So like, yeah. Sadly it's my dream car. So, and so like, it just kind of worked out that way. And, so it's basically a Z chassis is basically kind of already built for drifting, like the distribution and the weights and the rear end already like from like stock, it wants to kick out. So like, it's just, from right straight out of the box, it's kind of like the perfect car to get into.
Okay. All right. But you don't buy a new one. You are looking for a used one somewhere. And like how old, any age of car, or, you know, it's just that it's got to have a good motor. What do you look for when you're out looking for one of those cars?
So if you want or any drift car, really, it has to be rear wheel drive, and it doesn't have to be pretty. You just need to get in. You just need to be able to drive and get some seat time in a car.
Yeah, for sure. So Sarah, tell me about the competition. So do you compete against these other two girls?
No, I don't. So I don't race my car.
Oh, yeah, because you haven't driven yet. Sorry. Okay.
Yeah. So right. I don't race at all currently.
So you go to the track when the events are going on and you take pictures of all these gals. Is that right?
Yep. Yeah. Pretty much anyone on the track. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Tasha, you race against Kenzie?
I wouldn't say yes. I've driven with Kenzie maybe two events. And then one of them was for a wedding, and I didn't get very long because I did.
Okay, I'm going to stop you for a minute. Tasha, I'm going to stop you for a minute. Can you put your microphone closer? There's a really bad, like, vibration almost. Put your...
I want to see your eyeballs.
Don't be shy. Put your microphone closer, and then tell me that again.
I would drive with Kenzie, I think, maybe twice. And one was for a mutual friend couple's wedding. And I didn't have to do like two laps, and I just speeded, and I just didn't have enough time to resituate my tires to get back out there. They only had like 45 minutes, I want to say, for their drift demo aspect. So unfortunately, I haven't gotten to drive a lot with Kenzie or really any of the other girls. I think Jody Woolen, I want to say, is how you say her last name. I'm sorry about the last name. I've gotten to drive with for the last 2 years quite a bit on the bigger events, which has been really fun. She also drives a D chassis. So it's been kind of fun to see the range of driving speed to have like one car is amazing.
Yeah. So Kenzie, no offense to the other two, but I'm gonna talk to you for a little bit since you and I connected, and Tasha or Sarah, if you got anything you want to add, just kind of wave at me and I'll come to you. So Kenzie, how many women would you say, is it just a handful or are a lot of women getting into drifting?
I wouldn't say a lot of women are getting into drifting, but there is definitely like if we put into perspective, like our community, there's about a really good handful of women who are getting into our sport. Well, like if you count the United States as a whole, I'm sure there's a lot more that I don't see, but there are a good amount of girls who are starting to get into our sport more.
Okay. And so tell me about an event. If you go to an event to compete, mm-hmm. What does that look like?
So if you're not me, you show up on a trailer. And you have at least four sets of tires that you're going to burn off throughout the whole entire weekend. First thing you have to do is you have to make a lap. You have to go say hi to all your friends. Got to fist bump, got to wave, got to do the whole shenanigans. And then from there, it's you warm up your tires and you line up you and your friends and you figure out how many are going in tandem. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Okay. When you line up, do you line up single file or double?
It kind of depends. Our grid is allowed where we single file, but you can also do it side by side. Okay. But typically you want to do single file at our track at least.
So you don't, and so is this, it's something that's timed? Because if you're the guy in the back, you're never going to be able to get past all those cars. That would be really bad if I was in the back. So when you do this, is it a timed thing or how does that work?
Nope. So drifting is basically, so if I'm going to drive with Tasha, I let her know that there's going to be two of us that are going to go on track. So basically what's going to happen is we're going to go, she's going to be behind me. We're going to both do about like a nice, really nice, even pace to our initiation. And then we both initiate at the same time. And basically what her goal is to do is to mimic my speed and my line and my angle throughout the entire track. So she's not trying to pass me. She's just trying to mimic what I'm doing.
Kind of your shadow.
Yes, correct. Yeah.
Yeah. And so when you do this, most of the time, is it like in an infield or is it actually on the racetrack? Because whenever I've actually seen drifting, I've seen it now three times. they're usually in a confined area, more like the inside of a track or an area with a bunch of fencing around it. But, you know, dirt, it's on dirt, at least the ones I saw. So are you on dirt? Are you on asphalt? And like, where exactly do you kind of race? Or
so my track at ND, is it cement? We have our cement track.
Yes.
Okay. And it's kind of like this whole, the whole layout is the whole, like the whole track itself is, it's just, I don't know how to say it. It's just cement, and it's just, the only thing that happens on this track is drifting. So it's a strictly drift track. And it does have, they do have a drag strip, but they don't use that one anymore.
Okay. We lost Tasha, but she's back. Tasha, welcome back. What happened? Sarah, go ahead.
So the best way to describe that ND track is it was, the way that it's laid out is to make the most amount of combinations that they can for corners and mangies and everything like that out of one single track. So their track, it looks kind of like a blob, if I'm being like baseline of it. But because of that, they can run so many different lines and change up how they're going to tell the drivers what corners to follow, that it, the possibilities are endless. So they could do one corner one weekend, and we call it the big sweeper. Make sure we have that one corner, that big sweeper. We have inner zones, outer zones. And then the next weekend, it's going to be a completely different layout. And most of the time, someone's never driven it before. So they're like, what in the world is going on?
Okay. That makes way more sense. Thank you for putting that up there. And if you're listening, then you need to Google ND, what's it called?
North Dakota. ND Drift.
Yep. ND Drift. And then you'll see the track. I get it more. It looks more like a road course than a.
Yeah, it's more of like a go-kart track. It's smaller.
Yeah, for sure. So, and it's concrete, but do you ever travel to do any of these races, Tasha? Is the series a travel series, or how does that work?
Tasha. It's a little different for me. I drive primarily at VIA. Oh, can you hear me?
Yeah. Talk louder.
So I drive primarily at, sorry about that. And so being mostly at VIR, it's a lot of change. Basically like a very large parking lot, and I think most of the guidelines, if you will, for the track are bumps and potholes. To be honest.
Okay.
Definitely not as long as the North Dakota track bar as surface goes. And it's really bumpy. It's really easy to read tires. It's very easy to suspend parts if you don't know where you're going and where the line is.
Okay.
So it's a lot to drive, but I have a good I've gotten to Michigan and to Wisconsin. For a couple of events. I actually was out in Virginia for in Virginia, where they got to do a lot of mountain roads, which was kind of cool to check in on. Summer, but I didn't get to drive. That was an event. So, but I to travel more for an event.
So, Kenzie, how about you? I know you have been doing this a while. How many years have you been driving?
Four, 5 years, I think. I can't remember. I think since 2019 is when I picked up my car.
Okay. And now does your boyfriend drive too?
He does. He drives professionally in the Pro Spec, Formula Drifts Pro Spec series.
Okay. All right. So when you're competing, how do you get scored? I'm missing that part. Like,
okay.
Are you actually really competing, or are you just kind of having fun? Or,
well, yes and no.
Okay.
You are competing. Yeah. So basically your points, it used to be line angle style is what used to be the guidelines. So you were judged on how much angle you had and the line that you were using and like your, we call it, people call it the Genova factor or the X factor, the wow factor. Okay. Basically, so like if you're on a good line, that your chase driver is able to follow you and mimic you exactly like you're doing, that means you're doing a good line. That way they're able to follow you, versus if you're doing a bad line where you choke off the chase driver or you go off of the track, obviously that's not good.
Right. Okay. And so there's judges of some kind?
Yep. It's a completely judged sport. So you don't get, you don't get like, you know,
timed. It's not who goes fastest. Correct. It's correct. More about precision.
Yep.
Okay. So let's say that you get to the track, because I think it was Sarah that said, you know, one week it's one way and one week it's another. So you get to the track and you and Tasha are going to be racing together. Mm-hmm. How do you, like, does Tasha just have to be amazing so that she follows what the heck you're doing? Or not do necessarily. You talk about it? Or do you practice it? Or how does that work?
There are many answers to this question, okay. Because there are some competitions where you don't even get to talk to your chase driver and the chase driver can't talk to the lead driver. Essentially, in the more, I don't know if I want to use the word prestigious, but in some of the more prestigious competitions, in the morning before the competition starts, they will do a track walk where essentially the people hosting the events or the judges and all of the drivers will walk the layout of the track. So they get to physically see where the outer zones are, where the inner zones are, the deceleration zones. Essentially, outer zone is where they want your rear tires and your rear bumper. They want that right there. So it's a really good way to see exactly where you need to put your car. And that gets everyone on the same page. So when you do line up with someone, each person, so two people in a tandem, each person gets a chance to be the lead driver and each person gets a chance to be the chase driver. Once they have driven, I don't know if I want to say this, but a lot of it is on that lead driver, because if your lead driver does a terrible line, you both will end up in a wall crumpled.
Yeah, that makes sense though. That does make sense to me that would happen. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I was in Ohio. I think it was I'm not sure what town I was in, honestly, at the time. It's been about 3 years ago. And Ford was putting on a big drag show, and they had drifting as like an exhibition. I probably shouldn't say this, Sarah. I was way more into the drifting exhibition than I was the drag racing. But needless to say, I knew nothing about it. That was the first time I'd ever seen it. Mm-hmm. And so you just explained to me something that I would have watched for had I known they were in tandem and that. Do you ever just have a draw and Mackenzie might end up with some guy? And so you never know who your tandem's going to be. Does that happen?
Not necessarily. And sometimes.
Okay. So it depends on the event.
Yes. 100%.
So the way our track does it is we, in the beginning of the event, like right before comp, everybody chip draws. So initially you'd have no idea who you're going against until they have like a full bracket set up. And then we do a double-sided bracket where the competitors meet. So then once the complete setup is completely together, then you know who you're going to go against the rest of the competition. Okay.
And there really isn't a draw either, I would say. There is one more time where they will have you do the exact same thing all over again. Some events are limited to how many one more times that they can have before the judges have to pick a winner, regardless if they want to or not. But the bracket is pretty much always continuing to go. I'd say a lot of the time, though, it's I don't want to use the word easy, but a lot of the time there is a winner for the match.
Yeah. So how many cars would typically show up at your track to do this?
Ooh, about 100, I think, is what they can hold up to.
Wow. 100. Yes. So that's 50 pairs of drivers. Mm-hmm. Now, so if you got Joe at the beginning of the event, is he your tandem partner the whole time?
No, not necessarily. No. So okay. If I wanted to run with Tasha for a lap, I'd be like, hey, Tasha, let's go. If I wanted to run with my friend Kyle Puckett, I'd be like, Kyle Puckett, let's go. Mm-hmm. Well, so it's pretty much whoever I want to tandem with for practice and stuff.
Okay. So when they're scoring you or rating you, whatever it is, and you're the lead driver and Puckett's the follower. What's he called?
The chase driver.
The chaser. He's the chaser. And then the next round, it's you and Tasha. Then are you being scored separately? You're being scored. Puckett's being scored. Tasha's being scored.
Yep, correct.
And so she's, you know, if she's the chaser or whatever, then she's scored on how well she chases. You're scored on how well you're leading. And then the next time you're the chaser and you're scored on that. I'm getting it now. Okay. All right. Now, do you ever come? Where do you race? I mean, North Dakota, I get it. But do you ever travel? I know Sarah said something about prestigious events.
Mm-hmm.
Are they in Michigan ever, close to where I live?
So I think it kind of depends on the track. I know my boyfriend, Ethan, one of his big goals is to, I'll just say it the way he says it, drive more tracks and insert whatever year it is.
Okay.
So he's really, one of his big goals is to get into pro spec for FD. So what he really wants to do is try out more tracks, travel to different places. One of the big tracks, I don't want to use the word near, but it is near-ish to us, would be US Air.
Okay.
So there are some pretty cool events there. I mean, there are even events in, let's say, Nebraska. There are some in Illinois, Indiana area.
It's closer, unless it's Southern Illinois. Yeah, because I'd love, if you were coming to race, I'd love to come and watch.
Shawano. There are some, I don't want to use like prestigious, but there are some pretty like, they're competitions for sure, but they're not to the point of being like FD competition or.
But they
like
would draw bigger crowds too.
Yes, absolutely.
And then, so what is FD competition, Mackenzie?
Formula Drift is just the pro series of the drifting community.
Okay.
Like I said, my boyfriend Cody, he goes to 4 of the rounds, which is the pro 1 level goes to 8 rounds. We go to Road Atlanta in obviously Atlanta. we go to English Town in New Jersey. We go to the St. Louis. I can't remember the
gateway.
I can't remember.
Okay.
But then we go to Salt Lake City Motorsports. That
I've been to that track.
Yep. We go to those 4.
Okay.
And those bring ginormous crowds. We get about, I think last year was our biggest count was about 20, maybe 30,000 people at one of our events.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to think that Fast and Furious really kind of got this a push, if not a start, because we've all seen every one of those movies 10 times because we have them all and we have them, you know, that first of all, Paul Walker, God bless his soul, had the best blue eyes ever. But anyway, you can still look when you're old. That's what I can tell you. So, my husband and I, if there's nothing good on TV, that'll be something we'll watch again and again and again.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not just the car things, you know, it's just good movies for us. But the drifting part, I feel like really I didn't know that even existed till those movies. And so I'm sure that probably educated a lot of people. And there were girls in that, you know, so yeah. So Mackenzie, what's your favorite thing about being a drift driver?
My friends. All of my friends.
Sarah, what about you?
My favorite thing, because I'm on the photography side, I absolutely love being able to clock someone's progress throughout the season.
Oh yeah.
I don't know, gives me butterflies every time, because at the beginning of the season we might have a new driver and they cannot get our big sweeper, or they're scared of our big sweeper. And then by the end of the year, they're like, they're rubbing their paint on it. They're like, this is the best day ever. And I'm like, yes, 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 yes.
Yeah. Hey, Tasha, lean up close. What's your favorite thing?
The car build. It's amazing the stuff guys bring out to drive. I've seen such a range in my time of going to the tracks. It's amazing. And the stuff that they come with, like from over Japan, that's like, I recently transported to Old Patty. Like, it's so cool to see just such a huge range. I mean, it's so fun.
I can't
fun.
Even imagine seeing a Cadillac going around one of those tracks.
You need to come to Brainerd.
I do need to come to Brainerd. North Dakota is not around the corner, but maybe I could go to Arizona and make a detour.
There you go.
Oh, is Brainerd a big enough town to have an airport?
Yeah, actually, we do. We have an airport.
Well, that might be more likely. You'd have to pick me up at the airport. Sarah.
I want to circle back a little bit to when you said that the Fast and Furious movies kind of gave it the kickoff. I agree with you, but specifically in the United States. I think that movie came out at a perfect time where we didn't have as much of the internet as we have right now. Cause I mean, we can search anything. We can pull up live feed cameras from other countries. And Japan has been doing this for so long. And I think that this movie came out at just the perfect time when we were just starting to kind of get the internet. So after the movie came out, people were searching it and like, oh my gosh, it originated in Japan, and kind of looking at all of that stuff and looking at all of their incredible drivers and incredible cars. And I think made it a big push here in the States to get it.
Yeah, super, I would have popular. To agree with you. And I had kind of forgotten about that, because even in the movie, that's where he was at. Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
It was pretty much the 2000s without a doubt. When it first came to the US, it was really weird. People were like, what even is this? How is this a thing? And it's been crazy to watch how, like, something that used to be kind of made fun of by like the drag guys is now like super respected. It's been kind of cool to see that.
Oh yeah, because going really fast straight is one thing, but doing some of that, and you know, I was just in the car, and you can go to my Facebook page and it's probably still there. I don't know how long that stuff stays on there. And I was just a passenger, and and it was a very small area. It was the infield, asphalt on the infield at the speedway. But that track that you showed me, that looks really fun. Now, so much fun. Yeah, absolutely. So girls, what have I not asked you about? Well, I know one thing I want to ask you, and then I'll think about if there's anything we haven't talked about. But one thing I want to ask you about. So when you're competing, are you in a series like at your track? Do you have like a track champion or anything? Or yes, you do.
Yes and no.
Yes and no. You've said that every time I ask a question.
You ask really good questions. There are some competitions that are one-day competitions, and that's it. Like some of the like 50K events, like the Riverside 50K, that's a one-weekend event, one winner until next year.
Okay. But
at ND, we have our point series, so that is a series of events where even if you don't necessarily win one of those events, you could still be the points champion for the entire season.
Because you went to every one and you were consistent. Yeah.
Correct.
Well, that's pretty much like, you know, I don't know how much you guys follow NASCAR or circle track racing. My granddaughter races a street stock on asphalt on an oval. Okay. So they have a series. So the more consistent you are, even if you don't ever win a race, you could be the points champion. Same. And then we also have special races where it's just that night, that person wins. So it works pretty much the same then for sure. Yeah. So I'm going to ask each one of you, or you can just raise your hand and tell me, is there anything that we haven't talked about? Because I'm learning about drifting. So I may have completely missed the most obvious thing I should have asked, or we should have talked about. Is there anything that we need to make sure the people listening to this know about drifting?
I would have to say the best thing to know about drifting is keeping it simple and just getting seat time. Mm-hmm. Some people think they need to throw an LS in their car immediately. They need to put a supercharger on their car immediately. They need to do this and they need to do that, where it's like, no, just get your car and you get on the track. That's all you need.
Yeah.
Just get a rear-wheel drive car and drive.
And drive. Yeah, absolutely. Tasha?
I really think that the only thing that we haven't touched on is like the toxic side of the drift community, which is the street takeover stuff that's becoming huge on the internet. I hate it. I absolutely hate it. These people think they can drive. They're hurting people. It would be really nice to see what they got on the track and if they can really prove that they can drive.
You know, it's funny you say that, because the last two winters we didn't go, but prior to that, for two winters, we took our RV to Arizona. My youngest two daughters live out there, and I got a bunch of grandkids out there. And so we lived in a beautiful resort, you know, area, but right outside our resort, there was a fairly busy street. And, you know, about 8, 9, 10 o'clock at night, depending on the night, what you'd hear them, and they'd be out there racing. And it was on the news there. And, you know, I don't really see anything about that, like here in Michigan where I live, maybe the Detroit area, but not over here in Kalamazoo. I don't know that we've really had those kinds of issues, but I think you're right. It's just like drag racing on the streets. It's meant for the track. And, you know, yeah, it's totally, I'm glad you brought it up. Because have you ever seen those ads that say closed course, trained driver, do not attempt? I mean, they show things like that, you know, and so that's what we're saying. These girls are trained. They've have a lot of knowledge about drifting, and they do it on the track. They don't do it in the neighborhood. So good point, Tasha, for sure. Sarah, what about you? Do you have anything to share that we haven't talked about?
I would say, I don't know if you want me to go like a realism type of thing, but for anybody going into this sport, it's definitely not something that's going to be like your big break right away. You have to pour in a lot of time, a lot of money. You have to break your own heart with how much you suck before you even start seeing progress.
Yeah.
And I think some of the problem with the street takeover stuff, I'll kind of group that into this, is people are getting into this because they think it's going to give them clout, or they think it's going to get them noticed and they're going to get sponsors and they're going to get so much money, when even the highest caliber professional drivers are struggling to make it to their professional events. I don't want to deter anybody from doing it because it's so much fun, but at the same time,
it's like any kind of racing. Okay. So
it's a hobby.
it is, until you get maybe to the cup level or whatever.
Yeah.
Or even Xfinity or trucks. But we have a young man from here in Kalamazoo. I believe he's 20 years old. He started at in quarter midgets, right next to the track where, you know, we race on a weekly basis. And he was very successful. He was like one of the most winning drivers in quarter midgets, and he traveled all over. Well, he has spent, think of it, he probably started when he was 5 or 6 years old. So 14 years, and he's only 20. And he just, you know, he made it to the cup level, which is actually very quick for that progression. You know, you could be a driver. I don't know how much you girls follow NASCAR, but Josh Berry drove late models in the late model series. And that's what he did for a living. And he drove for Dale Jr. But he finally made it to the Xfinity series and now the Cup series. And he's, I mean, I don't know. He's mid 30s, maybe he's 40. He's probably in his 30s somewhat. But you just think that, you know, people don't get it, do they, girls? It's a lot of money. Car parts are not cheap, you know. And when you slide and you slide wrong and boom, you're into the wall. Now you got to fix something or it's out of line or the tire. You said you take 4 sets of tires. Now my granddaughter pays $800 a set for tires. What do you pay for a set of tires, Kinsey?
One tire is about $130 average.
Yeah. So $500 or $600 for a set of tires. And you take 4 sets. Okay. That just tells you right there that, you know, it's not a poor man's hobby, although, you know, you do hopefully find sponsors. Do you have any sponsors, Kenzie? No. Your husband and you, your fiance or whatever he is. I wasn't sure.
Raina.
Oh my goodness. Well, if you're watching the video, the cat has joined us. So that's, and it's a she. She's blending into the chair.
Yeah, her name is Raina.
Raina. She didn't want to be left out. So, yeah.
Yeah.
So I really appreciate you girls being on. I've learned so much about drifting tonight. And I'm going to go to Kalamazoo Speedway and watch some of those. I think they're on Sunday afternoons. And it's like $5 to get in. I mean, it's cheap enough. And and there were only guys there on media day driving. So we'll see if there's any girls that show up. But I just think it's such a cool sport, something different than, you know, the circle track and the road courses and all that. It's just, or, you know, a lot of girls race dragsters. Lots of women in the dragsters, but this is fun. And after hearing the three of you, maybe that'll encourage some other women to give it a try and check it out. And Sarah, seat time, just get in that car and go. Come on, girl.
With my 370, there are a few safety features that I have to manually disable and then fix.
Because no,
yeah. I'll give you that.
So I have a little bit of work to do.
Okay.
But all right. I mean, it is a goal of mine.
I know it is.
The girls listening, though, I want to take pictures of your car. So bring it to the track.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
If and you were closer, Belinda, Tasha and I are going to be driving or instructing at Shano this coming weekend. So it's a girls only event where her and I are going to be teaching other girls. I think there's about 22 girls signed up right now who we're going to be teaching them how to drift this weekend at Shano, Wisconsin.
Wow. 22 girls.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And Sarah, will you be there?
I will not. Unfortunately, okay. I am booked this weekend.
Okay. Well, somebody better take a lot of pictures. Take them on your phone.
Caitlin, her photography page is clusterfuck. Excuse my French.
That's okay.
But she'll be out there taking pictures for everybody, thankfully.
So tell us, how can we find you, you guys? Do you have a Facebook page for all of it? You each have your own page. What's the best way to find out, like, where you're going to be racing and like that event? Where could we find all that?
So for me personally, I have a Facebook page, an Instagram, and a website for my business.
Okay.
on my website under the events tab, I have put down a little calendar of every single event I'm going to be at this year. Okay. But on my Facebook and on my Instagram, I'll always post, you know, events I'm planning on going to, or if I just randomly decide to show up somewhere, I'll post, hey, I'm out here taking photos, stuff like that.
Sarah, what's your last name? Is that how we find you?
So you'll find my stuff. It's at O Shift Co.
O Shift Co.
Hmm?
Okay. Tasha, how would we find? Oh, where'd she go?
Sorry, I'm just trying to find a phone charger. I got like 2%.
Okay, that's all right. Real quick, how would we find you on social media?
Oh, it's just my name. It's Tasha Cosgrove.
Cosgrove is your last name?
Yeah, so it's C-O-S-G-R-O-V-E.
Yeah. And Kenzie, how would we find you?
So mine's a little bit more complicated because it's my license plate.
That's okay.
But it's L-I-L-L-D-Y-Z. And then
Lil.
Yep, Lil. Little lady Z, because I'm a little lady driving a Z.
Yeah, I got it.
I did not just put that together.
It's okay, yeah. Nobody gets it.
Awesome. I thought it was Lil Dizzy because you're driving.
Because she's blonde.
That's usually what people think it is.
Oh gosh, girls. Okay, so and Facebook, Instagram.
I'm on all of those. So Instagram will be the little lady Z underscore drift. And I think that is for TikTok as well. So.
All right. All right. I'm going to follow, and you guys follow me back if you don't already. And we'll,
I follow you already.
I know you do. Stay connected. So, any last words from anybody? Raise your hand if you've got anything that you want to share before we say goodbye.
Come tandem with me. I want a tandem.
Okay. She wants a tandem. Sarah, what about you?
I just want to say how grateful I am to have someone like Mackenzie in my local community.
So.
Because she really is a light. She's very easy to talk to. Mm-hmm. And especially if you're a girl just getting into either driving or cars in general, I really think that it's so valuable to have someone like Mackenzie to just be there and listen and encourage you to not only just like follow your dreams, but to try something scary. Because it is super scary to just go somewhere where you're not like familiar. One of the first
times. Or if you don't know anybody. If you don't know anybody, a lot of people can't do that. They can't just walk into a crowd of people. And I don't have a problem with that, but a lot of people do. And so that makes it hard.
If you're a girl getting into my sport, my friend Kiana will also tell you that I had no problem just walking up to her and being like, hi, I want to be your friend. Let's drift together.
Yeah. That's what it takes. And then you're friends for life. And you know, Kenzie, what you said, what you like most about it is the people, is the friends. And when I ask people, women, what their favorite, you know, most, that's the number one answer is the people. Yeah. So now I get to add you guys to my family, my motorsports family. So I used to do this all the time and I kind of got away from it. But normally then when I end, you know, I look at people that I've interviewed and I feel like I've met Kenzie, which is really odd, Sarah, because normally I don't meet the women hardly ever. So the fact that I've met her, but I met you here and I met Tasha here, then, you know, you're part of the Women's Motorsports Network family. So I want to say welcome to the family. And thank you for being on the podcast. Yeah. So you girls have a good evening. I want you to hang on after we end recording because I've got a little information to get from you. But have a good evening. I'm going to look and see where you're going to be at drifting. And hopefully I'll see you at the track.
Bye.
Bye.